You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Let's go back to our account now. Susan and her son Travis. So they're driving from North Carolina to Oklahoma. Been there, done that. Man, that's a drive, man, I'll tell you. You spent a lot of time in Tennessee. And it was kind of a sad occasion because they were going to say goodbye to her mother, who was dying. So they stopped in Tennessee at a Cracker Barrel, of course. Highly recommend. If you've never been down south, stop at one of those Cracker Barrels. It's the one of two things that my wife actually liked about the South. Travis, of course, navigating the store and the dining area in his manual wheelchair. And they were in the checkout line, and a man came up to them and said, "Would you like a power chair for Travis?" And they probably looked at him like, is this some kind of a trap or something? You know. And he told her that he had a brand new chair at his house that was supposed to be for his father-in-law, who never had an opportunity to use it. He said, and I quote, "God told me to walk over to you and offer the chair. I'm just being obedient." Isn't that cool? And that actually did happen. And that's how he got a power wheelchair, right there in the middle of Tennessee, just right out of the blue. God blessed everybody involved. That's pretty cool.
Oh, you've got to admit, that is pretty neat.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
Difference between life and death. That's an exaggeration. Okay, a little bit, it is.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the Sound of Life.
Happy President's Day today. A lot of presidents, you know, you think, well, why are we honoring them? Because this month we have Abraham Lincoln's birthday and George Washington's birthday. We always think about them as the president. They are the presidents we honor. But we're actually honoring all presidents, and one of my favorites is Calvin Coolidge. I did not know what the word taciturn meant until I saw it applied to him. He is was a taciturn Vermonter. I hope I'm pronouncing that word correctly. I don't think I've ever used it in conversation. It means a man of few words. That's what I said. Why didn't you just say so? And that's what he was known as. And Will Rogers was a man of many words and who was very funny. And Will Rogers was to meet the president at the White House, President Calvin Coolidge. Now, Vice President Dawes warned Will Rogers not to try to be funny, because the president didn't have a sense of humor. And Rogers responded by betting Vice President Dawes that he could have Coolidge laughing within 20 seconds. The formal introduction was made. Vice President said, "Mr. President, may I introduce my friend, Mr. Will Rogers." Rogers held out his hand with a questioning look and said, "Pardon me, I didn't quite get the name." Coolidge roared with laughter. And Rogers won the wager and made a very funny story. The Sound of Life. Powerful song there from Natalie Grant. Yeah, that was when her daughter was in the hospital with a breathing condition and the doctors were trying to figure out what was wrong with her. Been in that situation, you may very well have. And that's when sometimes you kind of forget. And you come through that and you say, "Lord, I forgot you had all this in your hands. You're sovereign," right? And that's more than anything is the name of that song from Natalie Grant. Very powerful. She writes about things that happen to her, even when she has a panic attack on an airplane and her daughter prays for her. All kinds of things. Songs written for friends who got cancer. And then a couple of years later, hey, that song turns out to be about me now. I have been diagnosed. It's pretty amazing. Well, it's 7:24 almost. I was texting my friend Paul, you know, who works here at the Sound of Life, because it's like 7:23, but it's 7:23 in the evening where he is. He's a day ahead. Sometimes I like to be a day ahead, but he is in the Philippines. And just kind of texting. This is a really great time of the day to be able to do that because, you know, he's up and I'm up, but he just got there a few days ago. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. Kind of impressed me at how long he's been doing something and the fact that, you know, every time I'm sure he thought about giving up, God said, let's do this again. Let's do it again. You know, it's pretty amazing. Thinking about the words of this song from Worship Team called Elevation Worship. And we'll do that song and then For King and Country. And I'll tell you about why Paul's in the Philippines right now. So I was texting with my friend Paul, who works here, Paul Grimsland, and Paul Grimsland happens to be in a ministry right here in the Hudson Valley called Hope for Change. Now, he is one part of that ministry. His ministry is in the Philippines near Manila. He's been there for a while. It got started over 20 years ago when he traveled there with a rock group called Mindland the Fever and Broken Heart. If you remember them, you got some age on you, man. I'll tell you. And he went there with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So they were on a mission there, and he fell in love with what was going on there, what God was doing. He just really felt compelled to continue to try to help children. Basically, the primary focus of their work in the Philippines is sponsoring children to get them in school, get them in elementary school, if that's where they start in, go through college. They live in extreme poverty, as children around the world do. I saw the same thing in the Dominican Republic, believe it or not. There's no way that they're going to get into the school because of the requirements of uniform and school supplies and things like that. So for us, it's really not a lot of money to be able to provide for them. But for them, it's an inordinate amount of money. So they go in, they got elementary school sponsorships, high school sponsorships, college, of course, and you can just make a donation to that. And he's been working in, and you know, he got the fly for the very first time in his life, the 16-hour flight from JFK to Manila. He got the fly business class. First time in his life. And don't anybody look at him and say, oh, now you're Mr. Uppity now, you know. Well, first of all, they paid, not Hope for Change Ministry paid for that, but he is, for over 20 years, he's been sitting in the back of that plane, just like you and I have, for 16 hours flying there, or flying to Detroit, and then taking another flight from there to Hong Kong, and then from Hong Kong to Manila. And so he deserved that little break right there. And so he's made over the years, finally, some real great contacts that can help him out. They do benefit, concerts, if you will, benefit shows that benefit Hope for Change Ministry, and they benefit these children. And I had an opportunity just to, capture some audio as Paul was talking to Chona, I hope I pronounced her name correctly, and it's a great interview, and it gives you a little bit of insight from one of the children that...
I don't think anyone in America can have the concept of what that would be like, especially if you're a parent and you take your 9-year-old child with you to a garbage dump to make money so that they can go to school or even eat that day. Now, Chona, you didn't grow up in the garbage dump, but you ended up there. So how did you end up there? You grew up outside in the province where it's clean and nice and beautiful. How did you end up living in Smoky Mountain?
Well, during that time, when I graduated my high school, my mother told me that she could not be able to send me in college. So that time, the two brothers that I have passed in Manila. So I asked my mother to... if I could be able to live in Manila to look for my brothers to and ask them to support in my college, because I really want to take course that I really desired. So I end up to live in Smoky Mountain, and that is the opposite of the place where I grew up. No CR, water is really terrible, the smell, those garbage everywhere, the flies, the smoke. So it's really like the upside down of my life.
So how difficult was it each day for you?
It is like terrible. I'm the youngest and I always have food on my table. But during those times, because I live in my auntie's house, so that's the time that you really need to work, help them, everything, the house chores, washing clothes.
So you were the youngest, they let you live there, but you had to do all the work.
I need to do everything. Yeah, and also going to school, balance everything. So, yeah, it's really hard adjusting yourself, but I survived.
She did, and the thing that's amazing about the students is they give back. When they've gone through school and they get a job and they're able to provide for themselves, They give back tremendously to the parents who they knew were sacrificing incredibly. So you can check out Hope for Change. I'll post the website. It's H4C International.org. But I'll post that link there. You can check out Hope for Change Ministries and what Paul is doing right now in the Philippines on the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Connect with Joe Hunter on Facebook. Go to the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page because he really needs some friends. The Sound of Life.
It is President's Day today, and of course, it is to honor not only Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, who were born in the month of February, but all the presidents. And yes, they were all kind of quirky, if you will. I mean, somebody made a rundown of list of just quite frankly, some odd things about some of our presidents since George Washington. And then they finished up by saying that's the reason our money has in God we trust on there. Absolutely, it does. Everybody knows about Ulysses S. Grant. He never thought about why his first name was Ulysses. I mean, was that like John back in the day or something? I don't know. That's kind of a weird thing. But he's probably the only president, he's got to be, the only president to have been citated. He was speeding as president, and he got a ticket for speeding while driving a horse and buggy. In Washington, D.C., he's actually arrested for speeding. He had to pay a $20 fine and walk back to the White House. The President of the United States, Ulysses S. Grant.
Well,
here at The Sound of Life, we play a ton of awesome faith-based music. But have you ever wondered about the story behind these songs? Well, here's a glimpse.
When I think about this song, I think about how you can't really outrun the grace of God. You can't outrun the love of God, no matter where you find yourself, no matter how far you find yourself. There's a line in this song that really grabs me every time I sing it. It says, story, I could have had a really different story, but you came down from heaven to restore me and forever save my life. And that's all of us, right? That's all of us. Where would any of us be without the grace of God? We would really have a different story without God's grace coming in to rescue us. That's what we celebrate, the grace of God, the goodness of God, that he came to rescue us and not leave us on our own and not leave us in our own in our sin, but he came to restore us and give us life. And so I pray this song connects with you in that way, and you realize that is the most true thing, that no one loves you like Jesus does. No one loves you like the love of God.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
So we got the snow. I was just looking, we just keep getting a little bit of snow every once in a while. Enough to kind of keep snow on the ground. I guess that's kind of normal around here. And in Toronto, of course, as you know, they know what to do with the snow because they're from Canada, and they know that they have fun in the snow. That's kind of their thing. And this man actually turned art into his backyard skating rink. It was an ice rink, and it got snow on it, of course, a few inches of snow. It's kind of hard to tell. But he took a series of shovels. I'm not making this up. You got to see it to believe it. And recreated the Mona Lisa. That's right, Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. His name's Robert Greenfield. He's got to be able to do this. I mean, he's got to be an artist. But the thing that's amazing is to stand in something as big, like a basketball court, an ice rink, and then to be able to see it, to have that perspective, to know how to do it, to make it actually look. So when you see it from the air, you go, that's the Mona Lisa. It's actually pretty cool. He calls it the Snona Lisa.
Awesome.
and you can check it out. I'm posting the little video and the link to it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook.
Excellent.
David Frey is a man who is just quite an entertainer. It reminds me of old school entertainment. He just loves to entertain, loves the band, and he loves God, and he's right here at Cup of Joe Morning Show. And you guys out on your own there on the tour and stuff, man. You guys are just like getting busy.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's basically our lives as well. As you know, with the bus is our second home. Last year we played over almost 200 dates, which means we were on the road for plus that. And but it's great because I am surrounded by five dudes that are amazing and crew members that are taking care of you. And now we're kind of transitioning back into our show, which is exciting too. This is kind of like who we are. We get, instead of getting we only played four songs the entire tour, now we get to play our, you know, 90 minutes plus, you know, and so it kind of is a reminder of our personality in it all. And so I really do enjoy it. Totally excited.
Yeah, excited, man. Sidewalk Prophets. They're going to be excited with their special guest, Dave Pettigrew. First concert around the Capital Region at Loudonville Community Church. This is Monday night, March 18th at 7. And then that Friday, right in Poughkeepsie at Change Point Church, 7 o'clock, March 22nd. Now, you can get your seats there. We're going to be there. You can get your ticket. We're going to see you there. Ticket information is available through the banners on any of our mobile apps. And, of course, at our website, just click on that banner at soundoflife.org.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter. The Sound of Life.
I was reading a blog by a pastor who's recently heard some colleagues chime in around some words that they had to say, some phrases. How's it going? How about denied the needed permit to build? That was one of the things that was discouraging. Staff member filed for divorce. Whoa. Family member has a critical illness. Budget shortage requires staff cut. Some of the things going on around churches. Church being sued for personal injury. Wow. I mean, they're not overly common, those problems, but they are part of everyday life in a leader, somebody in church, maybe in your church. But the good news is that that list does not represent the dominant or only news. Don't let the enemy use one big discouragement to rob you of many small discouragements. And this particular pastor came up with five meaningful words of encouragement. And it is for everybody, and they're right out of the Bible. Coming up, it was today, actually, for Thomas Edison, working hard there in Menlo Park, New Jersey. Man, I'll tell you something else. 1878, he got that patent for what we all love. Oh, man, Tom, I'm so glad you were working on that, man. He came up with a device that not only would record sound, it would play it back, and it was pretty good, too. Still amazing to me. I still think kids, when you put a needle down on a vinyl record and you hear high-fidelity sound coming, I don't care if it's a rock band or a Philharmonic, it just blows my mind how good that sounds. It's pretty amazing. And that's basically, he wasn't very far from that when he created the very first phonograph. Thanks, Thomas Edison. Pretty sure to appreciate that. Well, that was a banner day for him. If you're a church leader, you probably have those banner days, but there's hardly a day that goes by that's not like a speed bump in it or something. At least that's Dan saying that. Dan's been around. Dan's a pastor. He's kind of a pastor's coach right now. He realizes some pastors are having a tough time in some churches because of just what I was talking about before, you know, just the usual problems, speed bumps, if you will, that come along that can be very discouraging. And he was reading in the Bible and he said, well, I know the Bible is the living word of God. It's alive and active, so it can encourage anybody. Just got to put it out there and it can encourage. But the only thing is, you got to slow down. You can't be going 100 miles an hour. You got to bring it down to, well, probably slower than you want to go for a couple of minutes. And so he came up with five meaningful words of encouragement. You ready? Forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, woo, satisfies. Wow. It's amazing. He's looking at that whole satisfy part of that, and he said, you know what? I've got pretty high standards. I'm not always easy to impress. The idea of satisfies is a big thought. Am I content? Yeah. Am I satisfied? So, you know, you just got to kind of press into it. How do you feel? You know, how does God satisfy your desires with good things? That's his delight. The David said in the Psalms, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that pastor said, I've always read with a lens that focused on the second half. He will give you the desires of your heart, not focusing on the first part of that. Take delight in the Lord. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool little look, and it only takes a couple of minutes to take a look at all those five words. Forgives you, your sins. Pretty amazing. Healing. That can be a tough one. Absolutely. In today's world, redeeming your life from the pit, crowning you with love and compassion, satisfying your desires with good things. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. That is from Psalm 37, verses 5 and 7. It's just as alive today, isn't it? Isn't that inside of you as it was when it was written down and wherever it was written down in the beginning? So when our approach, when this is our approach, the good things, or quote unquote, the good things are much easier to see and receive. And that's pretty encouraging. I'll post that encouraging post on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook news. You'll see it in your news feed.
It's Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Today's positive sound.
The sound of life.
Look up, child.
The sound of life. Yeah. Lauren Daigle. Look up, child. Maybe we ought to look up into the microscope and you'll see some of God's creation. You decide for yourself. Okay. It's pretty amazing. I love it when an organization like National Geographic has these exquisite photos and then they talk about how incredibly complex they are. Really exciting. So I'm going to have to post it on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page because they don't give you an opportunity to look at the photographs, and I'm not really giving you an opportunity to do that much. I thought it was kind of cool because the lily of the valley, if you look in there real close, they have these pores. And it's hard to see. I got in over my head. That's what happened. Pores for gas exchange stand out against the leaf epidermis of the lily of the valley. They have these guard cells. In the photograph, you see two guard cells, okay? They're flanking each of the pores, which open or close when the guard cells gain or lose water. This is all happening on the microscopic level in a plant. Lily of the Valley plant. It seems they're all like this. The way that they reproduce, their structure is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the way it looks, and that's what they're really trying to show you is that things that you don't even see are incredibly numbered and precise, and the way that things are done. It's amazing that they marvel over things that really, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Laid end to end, more than 1,400 of these goat willow pollen grains would stretch an inch. Okay. And you got to see the photographs. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And then explain to your kids, this is the way they look. What do you think? Was it specifically made so that it can reproduce that way? And there's something different about every one of these, every one of these plants. That's the thing that if you're a scientist, it should jog your mind. And you go, why are they all different? Because they were all created to be their own plant in the way that they reproduce and the way that they deal with us. Things like that. It's just absolutely incredible. Anyway, you could just go on and on. It almost looks like you're looking into outer space. You know, those really cool photographs from the Hubble Space Telescope of galaxies and nebula and stars and things like that. And you think, wow, it's almost like in the microscopic creation. God is so detailed into everything. And He is sustaining every molecule, every atom, every little bit of energy in plants and living things is there because He set it to be there. That's what I believe. And you can look at it and go, well, I think it just happened by accident.
Hey, maybe I'll give you a call sometime. Your number's still 911?
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
He's a radio announcer here, isn't he?
The Sound of Life.
And speaking of joy, that's what Dave Frey does with me. He's with Sidewalk Prophets. They got some big concerts coming up in the middle of March right here on Cup of Joe Morning Show. Yes, David Frey. You guys are busy all over the place, out by yourself now. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's basically our lives as well. As, you know, with the bus is our second home. Last year we played over 200, almost 200 dates, which means we were on the road for, you know, plus that. And but it's great because, you know, I am surrounded by five dudes that are amazing and crew members that are taking care of you. And now we're kind of transitioning back into our show, which is exciting too. This is kind of like who we are. We get, instead of getting, we only played four songs the entire tour. Now we get to play our, you know, 90 minutes plus, you know, and so it kind of is a reminder of our personality in it all. And so I really do enjoy it. Totally excited.
I love you, Dave, man. And Dave Frey was with Sidewalk Prophets, of course. This gets a little bit confusing because they're going to be out in concert with special guest Dave Pettigrew. Absolutely incredible. Now, the first one is around the Capital Region, and it's Monday, March 18th at 7 p.m., and then that Friday, right in the Hudson Valley at Change Point Church in Poughkeepsie, March 22nd at 7 p.m. You want to go to both, you can get tickets. You want to go to either one of those, you can get tickets right at a banner on our mobile apps. That's right. We've got, it says Sidewalk Prophets in concert with Dave Pettigrew on our mobile apps, or, of course, at our website, soundoflife.org. All is known by God anyway. That's right. And he still loves you. Pretty incredible thing to think about today. Absolutely is. Now, having a little bit of fun right here. I guess this really kind of proves that, you know what? Just stop trying to be so uppity all the time. And it comes out of France, the home of the epi and the foil and the saber. Those are what they duel with. You know, I call them, hey, look, they got a sword. They're dueling right there. That's a saber. Okay. And, of course, you've seen them in the Olympics where they, and other movies, James Bond movies always had them in there. They're always, you know, doing that. Well, they've decided to have a little bit of fun and break out. And now you will hear this sound when they're fencing in France. I kid you not. I am not making this up. Absolutely. From a galaxy far, far away. Yes. Officially recognized lightsaber dueling as a competitive sport. That's right. That iconic weapon from George Lucas' saga. The same status. They granted it the same status. Thank you. As the foil, the epi, and the saber. The traditional blades used at the Olympics. This LED-lit rigid polycarbonate lightsaber replicas. Well, they can't slice a Sith Lord in half, really, but they look like they could. The more expensive sabers are equipped with a chip, and they emit a throaty electric rumble like that one right there. And see, aren't you, you're jealous right now? I said, he's got one in there. That's right. I just sliced up half the studio. I mean, I'd be able to keep going, but it's been a lot of fun. It really has. And so they sound like it. The ones in the blockbuster movies, and in France anyway, they've recognized the lightsaber dueling as a sport. Olympics fencing story, yes. And that, you just can't get any better than that, can you, kids? I mean, that's actually pretty, pretty cool, isn't it?
What a dumb thing to do.
I don't think so. I'll post
it. Wake up, Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
Well, that's all.
The sound of life.
Brad Upton is getting older, and he said, you know, it's kind of funny. I was in the store the other day looking at an old guy doing old guy stuff, and I was getting upset at him. And I just took a good look at him. I said, I think I went to high school with that guy. You know, it's like, he's us. We turned into him. But there's some things that we had that were pretty cool that maybe are now are lost on millennials, the younger generation. You're growing up with technology. You don't realize. And one of the greatest things that we had were telephones. I know you think you have a telephone now. We had the telephone.
Phones used to be on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. Something else, people used to call us, we didn't know who it was. I'm not making that up either, am I? Remember the phone would ring? You would run to answer it. You pull your hamstring getting to the phone. Now you hear that thing ring, you go, whatever. And you know why you would run? Listen to this. Do you know why you would run to the phone? Listen to this. Because if you didn't get there, there were no answering machines. Look at you looking at me like, no way. And then you didn't know. You did not know. You'd stand like, who was that? And then, listen to this. You had to call all your friends, listen to this, on numbers that you stored in your head. I'm not making that up either, am I? No. All the old people in here, they know the number of the house they grew up in. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you know your spouse's number? No.
Nobody.
Phones are smart. We're not.
The Sound of Life. Good morning to you. That is Elevation Worship. The song is Resurrecting. You know, Jesus painted that picture so vividly when he told the parable about the one son who wanted the inheritance. That was a really big no-no back in that culture, in that day. He could have been stoned for that, really. And the people in the town knew that. And everybody, and the father knew that. But the father had such compassion on his son, he said, okay, I'll give you your share of the inheritance, knowing that his son was going to ruin himself with it. Knowing that. God lets us go. Do you want to go down this path? You have the choice. You can go down this path. I've seen it happen. We've all seen it happen. We know what's going to happen. He felt so terrible. I mean, he was done for, wasted, on the edge of death, starving, humiliated, dirty, hungry, crawling back to his father. All he wanted was just a shed, just a place that he could just hide in for the rest of his life. That's not what he got, though, is it? No. His father came running out for him like he was the victor general returning from battle, you would have thought. Then I wrapped his robe around him. Let's kill the fatted calf and have a big party. The son's return. No wonder it caused jealousy with the son that stayed there working hard, listening to his father. Ooh, kind of wonder what was in his heart the whole time, because he got so mad when he saw his brother who had run off being treated so royally. It's amazing, isn't it? God bestows on us that resurrection power. That's tremendous. Absolutely incredible. You just start wrapping your head around that. And the fact that the place that he has for us is a place of honor as an heir to the throne. Do we deserve any of that? No, we don't at all. But that is love. That is God's love for us. And that's what they're conveying in that song. I think that's the reason it hits the nerve so much. Elevation Worship there, their song, Resurrecting. Wow. Well, ever since The Sound of Life has been on the air, and that's been 1985, boy, the math in there is really complicated. But a prayer has been a big part of The Sound of Life, of course. We've been committed to praying for you and with you. Would you pray for us? That would be really awesome. I know it's hard to remember from time to time who to pray for. You have to make a note. You know, or I put notes that pop up on my phone, alarms that pop up on my phone. That's kind of the way it is. So we here have stepped it up a notch here at The Sound of Life, and we've created a physical prayer wall. It's one of the best things we've ever done. It's absolutely incredible. It's got me praying for you all the time. Every time I see it, I pick somebody to pray for. And you can do the same thing, too, on our website, because you can view that very same prayer wall right at soundoflife.org. Just click on the prayer tab near the top of the page. Voila! Bada-bing, bada-bang, bada-boom. There it is. And you, too, can pray for Jill. Prayer just came in. She's taken to the hospital. She has... She really needs God's peace and transformation of her mind. And that's what we're praying for Jill for, Lord, and her family, the people that know her, for strength to trust in you and to come through this and for God to be glorified in her life. And so the people around her can see that, but especially for her healing in this distress. For Jill, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
6 months ago, my husband was diagnosed with ALS. And so needless to say, this has just been really tumultuous for us. And I'm just constantly reminded of how God is saying that he will never leave us, that he is outside of time. And a few months ago, I was up at the Mennonite store, and I bought this sign that says, "Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." And that is such an encouragement to me, because I know that God is outside of time and he is able to already be in my future. And he knows what I need, that he's going to provide what I need, and he's going to provide what my husband needs.
All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. Because all that really matters
it's also a reminder that this life is not all there is. You know, we know that it's not. We know that we're going to heaven. But we tend to think that, you know, of all the things that we want to accomplish in this life, and there's another huge life that we have beyond this, that this life that we experience right now is just a dot on a line of time. God is there, and God is in our tomorrow, and He's in our next day, and He's in our next day, and He's in our next year. He's already there.
They remember me. Only Jesus.
The right song at the right time. The Sound of Life.
The poem, 'Twas mercy brought me from my pagan land, taught me benighted soul to understand that there's a God, that there's a Savior too, once I redemption neither sought nor knew. That was written by Phyllis Wheatley, who lived in the 1700s. She was the first major black poet in America. In American history, 1700s, one of the nation's first major female poets, Phyllis Wheatley. She was born in Gambia, West Africa. She was stolen from her parents when she was 7. Think about that. Enslaved and brought to America. Boston is where she was. The tailor there, John Wheatley, purchased her as a personal servant for his wife, Susanna. She was very smart. She was displaying a readiness to learn to read. She was intelligent. She started reading and writing. Now, many people did that because, I mean, in some places in the country, it was illegal to teach slaves anything. How to read and write and things like that. But they noticed she was very smart, and so they did. And the Wheatleys were members of that famous Old South Meeting House in Boston, I guess. Phyllis went to church there, was baptized when she was 18, and she kind of got famous. She was famous with the publication in England of her poems on various subjects, religious and moral, which came out in 1773. But the only thing is, her poetry, this is great, right? You're writing this poetry. They don't believe you're the one that wrote it. She had to be examined by 18 of the most respectable characters in Boston. That was to prove that she, a black woman, really wrote the poems. That was how it was in those days. No American publisher would publish her, only with the help of evangelical philanthropist Selina, Countess of Huntington, did her poems come to the public's attention. As a result of her obvious gifts, her owners eventually gave her freedom. And her poetry, of course, reflects what is known as a neoclassical style of the day, which I have no idea what they're talking about, but you probably do. But it also reveals the circumstances of her life, especially her race and her faith. And maybe probably her most famous poem was called On Being Brought from Africa to America. Wow. And that's part of that is what I just read, you heard a second ago. She won notice of General George Washington. She wrote a poem dedicated to him. Also memorialized the work of evangelist George Whitefield, a pioneer in preaching to African Americans. As you know, Wheatley, in her poem on the death of the Reverend Mr. George Whitefield, imagine the evangelist offering salvation through Christ to his hearers. But anyway, she didn't live all that long, but she had quite an impact, and I thought it would be kind of interesting to take a look at that. And, you know, as I get older and I learn more, and become pretty fascinated by history, and a lot of it has been lost history, which, you know, everybody's kind of discovering at the same time. A lot of her poems didn't get to be published until after she passed away. I mean, she passed away in 1784. She was born in 1753. So pretty amazing, hard life to be. I mean, you think about what she went through a little bit. Can't even imagine, probably. Phyllis Wheatley, just wanted you to know about her. And nowadays, man, I tell you, you don't have to be much of an adult to have a friend or know somebody, or probably a kid even. Everybody knows somebody that's been through, going through, will go through cancer. It's just one of those things. I mean, back in the day, it was just very rare at one point, but now it isn't. But people all over the world are working to try to find some type of a cure. And boy, this is really good news. It's a cancer drug. They've been treating patients with six different kinds of lethal tumors. And here's the thing. It acts like a Trojan horse. All right? So obviously the cancer cell lets this drug inside the cell thinking, oh, this is a gift. It's a gift for us. Let's bring him in. And then it turns out to fight the cell from within. So they've been testing it on different types of, as I said, six different types of cancers, and all the patients have responded positively to the new treatment. It's very innovative. It's called some two words that I can't pronounce, so they, or neither can anybody else, so they call it TV. The words start with T and a V. Vedotin, I think, is the last word, but a TV. So you just call it a cancer drug TV. It releases the toxic substance to kill the cancer cells from within the cancer cells. Wow! Why didn't you think of that before? That's pretty cool. The results have been so positive that the drug has now moved toward phase two. I don't know how many phases there are. Two? That'd be nice. In the trials, they've done it. They're doing it in cervical cancer and will be testing a range of additional solid tumor cancers. You can read all about it on a Good News Network article about this Trojan horse drug treating patients with six different kinds of cancers. That is really, really good news. Thank you, guys. I can't imagine what it must be like to tediously do research every day, you know, in a lab, I guess, and try and just desperately. So maybe somebody was praying for you guys, look for a breakthrough, and boom, there it is, a Trojan horse to get inside the cancer cells. You can read about it on the Good News Network article that I'll post on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more
Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So Lisa Berry is on in the afternoon, the Heading Home Show, starting at 3. And Lisa knows what she's talking about. She posted, the worst of winter always brings out the best in people. She spent years, I think she's from there as well, too. She worked for a station in Minneapolis, Minnesota, KTIS, a great radio station there. And there was a Keith who I knew because he was in New Jersey working for Star 99, a guy named Keith. He was working there, and he went to Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I thought, what is wrong with you, son? But he's having a great time. But Lisa is not there anymore, but she still remembers those winters, and she knows about winter bringing out the best in people. So she wanted to know about acts of kindness that you've observed recently. And Melissa said, my neighbors came over and helped me shovel my driveway and even some of the street until I decided my little car just couldn't handle the snow. So then they spent another half hour helping me back in the driveway. And then I went over and helped them finish clearing the driveway. And Melissa said, also, I found out that the last two times it snowed, it was the same neighbor's kids that came over and cleared my car out for me. Those sneaky little elves, pretty amazing. Lori said, I came home last night after a long work day expecting, I know what that's like, you know, and you go home and you're like, oh, man. Well, she said, I've got a snow plow. I do the same thing. I said, I'm going to get the snowmobile out. And my wife's always like, she said, it's a snow blower. Okay. So Lisa was going to get the snow plow out and snow plow the driveway, and the neighbor had already done it. That is always the best.
Excellent.
Yay!
Billy Graham's grandson, who may be as good a preacher as him. I was going to say he may surpass him. I'm not sure. He just finished preaching revival services in Manila in the Philippines. Will Franklin Graham, I believe that's his name. Because I get so confused. I call him Franklin Will Graham. Anyway, I think his name is Will Graham. It's Billy Graham's grandson, Franklin Graham's son. It's amazing. It's incredible. He's just like his grandfather. So I thought Franklin Graham was a lot like his dad. He's turning into his dad. Maybe that's still true. Pretty amazing. You know, I understand that there's a racetrack in Saratoga for horses simply because people who had horses would just start racing them through the main street in town back in the day. I mean, a couple hundred years ago, you know, they would be like, I can beat you to the end. I can beat you down to Main Street. You know, and then they would take off racing, and it was causing quite a stir in the town. We can't have people racing through there. But it's still going on. I was reading recently, and I think I said it on the air. Ulysses S. Grant, when he was president of the United States, got a speeding ticket in a horse and buggy in Washington, D.C. He was arrested. The president was arrested. And he had to walk back to the White House. That whole scene is just like, wow, that is really kind of amazing right there. But, you know, I mean, man, well, I can do it one better. The, what was the crew? Team One had an unusual stop, as the police tweeted. Quote, tractor stopped after reported for drag racing motorbikes. It happened in Britain and was, of course, in the middle of the night. I guess it was a pretty speedy tractor, not like the kind Uncle Junior had. They responded to a report of drag racing motorcycles, and they ended up discovering the bikes were racing against a New Holland T6 175 tractor. Those of you in Pine Plains and probably certain areas of Pine Bush know exactly what I'm talking about. I know about New Holland, yeah. And so they, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of sponsorship thing or something, you know, where they get publicity or something, but a very unusual stop. We would love to hear how the Sound of Life has made a difference in your life. As a ministry actively sharing the word of God in music, we know that there are stories that, well, we haven't shared because we don't know what they are yet. And it's not that big a deal, really. You know, it doesn't have to be eloquent, all that. I just wanted to be honest. And your story, like Julie that called one day.
I listen to you on my school bus every morning, and I just want to thank you. You're always very positive and inspirational. It's nice, especially first thing in the morning.
There you go, right there. Share your story on air with the Sound of Life family. Call our studio, 800-946-1765. Probably get the voicemail. Just leave, just like Julie did right there. That's all you got to do. How has God used the Sound of Life? It can be longer. I don't know if it can be much shorter, but it can certainly be longer. Phone number again is toll free, 800-946-1765. And if you forget that phone number, you can find it at the bottom of our website, which is soundoflife.org.
The Sound of Life.
Oh, I was watching basketball last night. I was kind of looking around on demand, you know, with the cable thing there. I was kind of really hoping the program would have been there, but it wasn't updated, you know, not quite fast enough. You know, you would think that right after the show was aired on TV, boom, it would be, or within minutes after that, it'd be on demand. Nope. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, came on Monday. Here I am Wednesday night. It's not ready yet. So, what else is on? College basketball. Whoo, mercy. Every game was on. Amazing. And I was kind of upset because the Duke Carolina game was last night. And I'm looking all over the place. I said, what? Nobody's carrying the Duke Carolina game? And then, like an idiot, I looked at the time and said, oh, it doesn't come on yet. It's on later. So I watched the North Carolina State-Boston College game. This is an Atlantic Coast Conference game. My dad went to North Carolina State. All right, my aunt worked there. His brothers, you know, I was raised in Wolfpack red sweatshirts my whole life. Anyway, so they were playing a game, and they asked that question. They said it right out there.
Would you consider this a must-win game?
That's what they said. This is a must-win game. Went into overtime. Very exciting. North Carolina State prevailed. It was a very cool game. But then, I saw the beginning of the North Carolina Duke game, right? Highly touted. They were playing at Duke. So I'm thinking Duke, they're going to win. I thought they'd win by 10 or 12 points. They were favored by like 9.5. I don't know how you get a half a point yet, but I'm still trying to figure that out. But I saw something that I have never seen in my life. I don't think I have ever seen this. And I have a feeling there's going to be some repercussions. I'm just saying, Zion Williamson, who's everybody's talking about, phenomenal athlete. I mean, you did picture this guy. He's a freshman who is 6'7", 6'7", 285 pounds, man. And he moves like a cat. He does. It's incredible. He just does everything. It's just phenomenal, everything. Well, last night, he went on kind of a routine. He was playing defense, and he stopped, you know, kind of slid. His shoe fell apart. Fell apart. If you saw it, or seen the replay, which they're all over, it's all they're talking about today. The seams of the shoe, the innards, it was ugly. The innards just spilled out on the floor. His foot, boom, there it is. Ah, he's got socks on. Just spilled out on the floor. And he did something to his knee when that happened, which is very understandable. And he didn't play anymore after that. And it was a very quiet crowd as North Carolina whipped Duke last night. He really did. It was very obvious. And Duke, see, the players to me just seemed like they were in a funk. They just couldn't get their mojo going. You know, I mean, that's very important. And they just didn't have it. But I'm thinking about this whole shoe thing. And I know it's not like on the top of the list of world concerns and things like that, but I got a feeling. I mean, unless somebody covers up something, I got a feeling there's a representative, the president of the shoe company, and I don't know who it is. It's rushing to Durham, North Carolina right now, finding what happened to that shoe that the number one guy in college basketball just had it fall apart on him.
Hey, maybe I'll give you a call sometime. Your number's still 911?
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
I love coffee!
The Sound of Life.
Friday, I think we got a normal school day going for us here. It was kind of neat when I got home yesterday. It was so warm and sunny and all that. And I said, we've kind of gone back to square one. It was kind of neat. I said, see, it worked out okay. Just leave everything the way it is. I got that from down south. That's what Southerners do. See, when it snows, it's like, I ain't doing nothing until God gets rid of it, okay? That's what is playing it. That's kind of our attitude. Okay, giving up the smartphone. Man's up for the challenge right here, and there is a big challenge out right there. And, you know, I know people that, I mean, I don't know them personally. I've just heard kind of secondhand stories about people who've dropped out of job training because in the job you can't have your cell phone. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so there is a millennial that is going to give up the smartphone for a year. And if he does, he's going to win $100,000. It's pretty serious. Could you live without your smartphone for a year? Pretty neat, right? $100,000. See, we got heavyweight prize right there. Filmmaker and YA fantasy author from New York is about to try in an effort to win this $100,000. Now, it's from Vitamin Water. Vitamin Water launched a contest in December offering one contestant the opportunity to end up with six figures should he or she be able to go a full year without engaging with a smartphone or tablet. I know already you're thinking about ways to get around it, aren't you? You're like, oh, wait a minute. He didn't say anything about... After sorting through over 100,000 entries. Yeah, right. One was qualified. That were submitted on Twitter and Instagram, kind of ironic, detailing how they would approach the challenge. Vitamin Water named the company's chosen candidate on Friday, Elena Mugnan. So it's a woman who's 30 years old, trading in her phone, an iPhone 5S, all right, for a flip phone so you can have phone calls. And it's provided by Vitamin Water, so they keep track of it and everything. And she's going to try to do it. I mean, it's $100,000, so, hey, let's face it. You know, when has it never been about the money? It just seems like it always comes down to that. Well, so it's very interesting to see. A year can be, that's going to be brutal, I'll tell you that. I don't know, Elena, you know what you're up for. You know what the Bible says, count the cost. So I guess we'll see. More power to it. You know, all the old comedians, people like me, not that I'm a comedian, I'm just old, you know, they were always talking about how it was in the good old days. We talk about phones with a cord and they were on the wall and had no answering machine and all that. So that's kind of funny. But we also talk about our playgrounds, how everything was made out of metal. You fell on asphalt. Still thinking about that. But it is kind of true. I mean, you didn't, every day you came home from playing, you needed Bactine and a Band-Aid on something. You got scratched or scraped somewhere, you know, and you kind of learned that's the way life was. So maybe Laura Story's life, maybe with her kids, it is, I think they kind of live out in the country. I believe the indications are looking good. Laura Story said her youngest son's first word she thinks is kind of unique as a first word. And so when she was posting the conversation with her other son, Griffin said, "I just got Timmy to say a word." "Wow, Griff, what was it?" "Ouch." When your kid's first word is ouch.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Yes, and it's Friday. Woohoo, here we go. So a couple of days ago, Danny Gokey, yeah, I'm trying to think of his name. Danny Gokey tweeted out, "Before a concert, I had, I think it was 4 espressos plus an Ethiopian pour over. I've had Ethiopian coffee. And that's quite an event, the pour over there. I've never heard of an Ethiopian pour over, but I know Ethiopian coffee. There's a reason they serve it in those little tiny little cups, just like an espresso." So he said, "I thought I was going to die." I was like that, you know. And but here's the thing. Caffeine doesn't actually give you energy. It just blocks a receptor. There, I think it's called adenosine, I can't pronounce it. I don't know where to put the emphasis. It's a receptor in your brain that lets you know that you're tired. So it blocks that. So you just don't think you're tired, even though you are tired. And I thought, well, that's kind of good enough for me.
What is wrong with you?
I was so happy to see my neighbor out in the snow the other day. He has a grill open, you know, grilling. They smell like hamburgers. Oh, that is so awesome. I love it when it's cold out and people are grilling. It's amazing. But I digress. We're having some fun with some old school playground kind of stuff, old school things that we used to do, you know. And any comedian will tell you that's old. Remember the playgrounds? I mean, Tim Hawkins, everybody. Remember, you know, playgrounds, our toys were made out of metal. We had dangerous toys. We had toys that were hot, toys that were hard, and when you fell, you hit the asphalt or the rocks and stuff. I mean, you didn't come home from playing a day, hardly, that you didn't have a scrape, something, you know. Nowadays, you look like you could, like the Michelin Man, you know, you're all protected and everything. But so we have a little bit of fun with that. But please, you know, enjoy it in that way. So coming up, I have a very special person, Jeff Allen, talking about a stunt that he pulled back when he was young.
The Sound of Life.
Back in the day, we used to kind of show our love, if you will, by letting people go through things. Our kids, you know, and within reason, we didn't let them play in the street, you know, but we weren't as protective. You know, they could climb trees like me, fall out of a tree, break your arm. Oh, won't do that again, will you? Be more careful next time. You know, ride bikes around. We played in the creek. We played with the crawfish in the creek, crawdads, whatever. You know, and so we played around like that in the dirt and things. So every comedian that once you get a little age on you, it doesn't take much to realize, you know, our slides were made out of metal. They got to be 212 degrees in the summer. And, you know, burned your skin going down. Things like that, you know, they were 6 stories tall. We have memories of how vicious our playground equipment was and stuff. And of course we exaggerate and make it seem kind of fun. I have a feeling that Jeff Allen may not be exaggerating about this, you know, doing something stupid.
We all did dumb things. That's how you learn not to do dumb things. C.S. Lewis said suffering was God's megaphone. That's right. You do dumb things, it hurts, and then you learn not to do it. I'll give you an example. When I was 12, someone told me to get a ball jar, a canning jar. Find some dry ice, put it in the jar, put the lid on it. So I said, "What's going to happen?" They said, "It's going to blow up." And I said, "Cool." where do I get dry ice at? And they said, the ice cream man. So one day I heard the ice cream man coming down my street. I run out with one of my mother's canning jars, and I ask, you got any dry ice? He said, what you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to put it in this jar. I'm going to put the lid on it, and it's going to explode. Ice cream man says, oh, here's your dry ice. That's the America I grew up in. And, of course, that night, my mother was at our kitchen table picking shards of glass out of my forehead.
Right.
I never did it again because that would have been really dumb. That's how you learn.
That's how you learn.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Every second you laugh at me, that's 1 second longer you're waiting for coffee.
The sound of life.
Things you didn't know from my dad.
Hey, it's another edition of Things You Didn't Know from my dad. Or for you, it's Wayne. Hey, man.
It's me, Joe. Good to see you again.
Woo-hoo.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing good. Friday.
It's Friday, yeah. All missed you last Friday, but we're picking it up again this week.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some music news?
I'm ready. I really am, because I know it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Spring is almost here, and songs are coming out.
Yes. New flowers, new songs coming
out. Oh, yeah.
So we've got Austin French has a new song called Born Again. Powerful song, and they've got a really powerful video I just saw, Joe. It starts off, it includes testimonies of several different people and how coming to Jesus Christ has helped to heal the brokenness in their lives. It's kind of it kind of starts the video, and then it's weaved in through the song.
I am liking him more and more, even though he still sounds like he's 12.
He's young.
Sounds like he should be living at home, but he's got some good music stuff. Really good.
Yeah, but I recommend checking that out. Okay. Austin French, Born Again. And now we've got a highly anticipated song, Joe, from Big Daddy Weave. They've got new music coming out.
I am so glad they do. I really am. They've been through a lot.
New song is called Alive. It's out now. We don't have it on the station. This is just a teaser for it yet.
Okay.
You know it's going to be here probably any day, though, but you can see it online. We're going to play you a teaser of it in just a second. I wanted to just say, though, the video is great, and it starts out with a little quote I wanted to read from Scripture. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions," from Ephesians 2.
Cool. And here's a song, a little clip of the song from Big Daddy Weave, Alive.
I was dead in my transgressions, wandering in sin. I went searching for redemption down a road.
Let's get that on. Come
That's
on.
That's it. I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing it in the back. Either way, I'm going to listen to it.
Very cool. Look at this.
I've got two other songs for you. There's a bunch of stuff coming out, Joe. But Newsboys have a new single.
Yes, they do.
Greatness of Our God.
Oh,
I know
man.
You like that song.
I am so waiting for that to be on. So waiting. You know, first thing I thought of was, hey, somebody had the idea. Let's get the band back together. It's really awesome with the six of them. It's crazy.
And Meredith Andrews, new song called Open Over Us.
Ooh, wow. She's she's in Nashville. You guys probably knew that.
She's back.
You know, I always think of her in Chicago. She's from North Carolina. Didn't mean you have to like her, but yeah.
Very nice.
Like her a lot. Pretty cool.
And I think after a couple songs, Joe, we're going to talk about something. I'm going to tease it with this. I think the world is getting a little confused.
If there was any doubt that we have completely whacked out in parts of our world, I believe the Bible says blinded. It is really something right here. You're talking about a 27-year-old man who wants to sue his parents for having him without his consent.
I know. I mean, I'm laughing, but I don't, you know, and who knows? I don't know if the guy's being serious, if he's just trying to get his name in the news media. It's bizarre. I find it a little bit bizarre.
And, there's another one, too, that was in the news that just hit the news as well that just shows you, too. We'll talk about it in a couple songs,
awesome.
I believe. Okay? That's coming up. A 27-year-old man plans to sue his parents for having him without his consent. What?
Consent of the unborn is not even possible.
My head is exploding.
I know.
And that's for real. We don't know if the guy is for real. He just wants to make a big show and get in the news or something.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe it'll all come out. And the guy's name is Raphael Samuel of New Delhi. Said that children aren't indebted to their parents and that children should ask their mothers and fathers for an explanation as to why they gave birth to you.
Wow. We're really whacked. I'm telling you. We really are.
It's crazy. Now, I've never heard of this, but his belief. Antinatalism. It's something I haven't heard before, and it promotes the notion that children shouldn't be forced to be born.
It's kind of an example of when we lost our moral compass. We're just wafting, being tossed to and fro. And I think that's from the Bible, too, isn't it? You can tell me about that.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
And Samuel even goes on a little bit further, Joe, to compare childbearing to both kidnapping and slavery.
Right. Okay. Well, I had just heard about, you know, this is kind of like, tell me who's in the wrong here. Mm-hmm. You got a mom and a dad and a six-year-old son.
Yep.
And the mom wants him to be treated as a daughter. She even gave him a girl name.
Right.
The school treats him as a girl. He uses the girl's restroom. The father said no. He's a boy. Guess right. who's in trouble?
I think I know who's in trouble, right?
It's incredible.
It is. And a Texas court now has barred the father from teaching his six-year-old son that he's a boy. And he's also not allowed to even dress him as a boy.
He's a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm exploding right here.
And the story also even goes on to say that even though the child chooses to be a boy around the dad, you know, they make it sound like the child's not even quite sure. The child's confused. He's only six, Joe.
Right, exactly.
Right, and I'm a little dumbfounded that the parents can't get together and figure out what's best for the child. This is not what's best for the child.
Wow. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Please enlighten people. Please.
Yeah. Everyone's
open
just a little
eyes.
Confused.
Wow.
Yeah. So his name is James, but they're calling him Luna. I guess that's the female transgender name that his mother uses. He's using the girl's restroom. I would ask everyone to just pray for this family.
Absolutely.
Pray for the parents that they could get on the same page and that they would not mess this child up.
May healing come out of this. May healing come out of this, yeah. Lord. You be glorified. Wow.
Amen, Lord. And I don't know. Nobody seems to know what to think anymore. Right and wrong is just getting turned upside down.
Wow. Have mercy.
Well, Joe, it's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's always fun. And I'll see you next week.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life, Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events and contests, to ask for prayer and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.